Welcome to World Cafe, words and music from WXPN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye. Our live guest today, The Clientele, join us live in the studio. The London-based band's last two albums have been perfectly executed intelligent folk rock with perhaps more of a pop feel to 2007's God Save the Clientele and a more expansive feel to their album from last fall, Bonfires on the Heath. We'll talk with the band's leader and songwriter, Alistair MacLean, in just a moment after this performance of Wonder Who We Are, The Clientele. Lovely. I Wonder Who We Are is the song that begins
Bonfires on the Heath, latest album from the Clientele, and begins our session today. And you would definitely get a fall feeling from songs like Harvest Time and Bonfires on the Heath, but your intentions are right there in the lyrics on the first song, in a way. The loveliest season has taken you, write my name in the leaves. We're moving into springtime, moving into summertime. This album is so resonant with the fall. Alistair, did you write all these songs then, or did something happen in the fall that...
Well, they're all written as summer was turning to autumn a couple of years ago, yeah. And I was, you know, I had a lot of time to myself wandering up and down through Hampstead Heath, you know, in the afterglow of some strange experiences that I'd had earlier that year. So, yeah, I guess I just had the chills all the time, and that's when those songs are written.
Strange experiences that might have, I don't know, heightened some of this imagery? What was going on?
Well, it was an experience that happened earlier in the summer that, you know, it's not something that we'd ever want to encourage or glamorize in any way, but it involved a quantity of hallucinogenic drugs that it took a long time to get over the afterglow of this experience, and the world seemed a little bit strange and off key for a long time afterwards, and that was when the songs were written.
Visually, orally, always?
Everything. Yeah. a sense of utter paranoia that you're looking at the fields and the trees, and the trees and the fields are looking back into you. That kind of horrible, unpleasant feeling.
And it's, I've heard you mention before something about your outlook and where these songs come from is kind of a suburban place. And when you say that here in the U.S., it probably means something a little differently than what, I mean, here suburbia is sprawl and strip malls and all that. That's not quite what you mean, is it?
Well, I suppose suburbia in Britain is, you know, a kind of satellite ring of dormitory towns outside a big city where, you know, people who work and commute go and live. And they can be, they're beautiful places in a lot of ways. They're just edge onto the countryside, but also they're close to the city. And I think that, I mean, that's where I come from. That's where James comes from. And I guess it's also where Mel comes from as well. And for me, it's always been a kind of a, I don't know, there's a ley line or something there between the two places, and you're never quite sure which one you're in. And it's that kind of strange confusion that I've always written about.
Did you have woods where you were growing up?
We did, but never real forests, you know, just kind of like little woods that you'd be in and then you'd be out again. But just everything about the place was disorientating, I think, you know.
Could you escape to that place when you were a kid?
Oh, totally, yeah. Yeah, there was a wood just opposite my house that I used to go in all the time, yeah.
Maybe that's why I relate so well to these songs. I had the same experience, which is great.
Oh, really?
And now there's a song on here, the title track, Bonfires on the Heath. Bonfires are common. Now, of course, we can't burn anything here in the U.S., you know. But there used to be, I'm thinking of Guy Fawkes, that's sort of a political bonfire, but there were...
Yeah, well, it was an older custom that was co-opted as a political bonfire because people didn't want to talk about the older customs anymore. But, yeah, I know bonfires can happen from... Really, just any time in the autumn, whenever there's debris to burn, and you get, you know, people would just pile them up and burn them. They still do it.
Can you do that song?
Yes, we can.
It's all down.
title track to Bonfires on the Heath. Clientele playing live for us today. Mark Keen on the drums, James Hornsey on the bass, Mel Drazy on keyboards there, and I think there's a violin hiding over there somewhere we'll get to. It's vocals. And Alistair McLean, vocals and guitar. You know, I noticed this on the albums, and I really noticed it when you play live. Alistair, because you do so much finger picking, and because James plays so high on the bass, like a lot of melodic lines, it's there's a lot more interplay going on between the three of you than, you know, a kind of a strummy kind of sound. Was that part of the band from the beginning?
I guess it was. I mean, like, when we first started, it was me and another guy who both knew Spanish guitar. And I can't play with a pick. So we just always used to play like that. And I think it probably would be fair to say James adapted his style to that. And that was a long time ago, so we've been doing it a long time. So, yeah, it does kind of intertwine in a nice way.
Yeah it's really... is this album any kind of a reaction to God Save the Clientele? Because that album, I know you... It wasn't organic. It wasn't just the four of you.
Well, yeah, this record was much more about just the four individuals in the band, each like working as hard as they could to make something that just came from the four of us. I think we felt with God Save the Clientele that there were a lot of people involved, and often it was out of our control, in the sense that we would only be hearing the string arrangements as they were recorded, or people would just come in and we'd leave them in the studio to do whatever they wanted. And this time we decided we would make it much more organic and pare it down and, you know, would do the arrangements ourselves. It was only just our own disorganization that meant we had to farm them out to other people anyway, so.
There is much, this record's much more vibey, and it's really, it's a quieter record. It's kind of spooky in some ways. And you mentioned some older British folk recordings were somehow important to you making this?
Yeah, I mean, I always used to listen to folk music when I was younger with my parents, but I kind of had an allergy to it. It would bring me out in hives, you know, all the cardigans and things. But listening to, you know, people like Vashti Bunyan and, you know, various other, there's a band called Trees, there you suddenly start to see this vein of folk that is very spooky, you know, and that was an inspiration to a lot of the writing. Which, you know, God Save the Clientele was very much a pure pop record. It was about trying to write songs that were like, each one was a pop hit in its own way, whereas this one was more about the whole, an album of songs as a whole mood piece, you know, that all interlock and work together.
Definitely. But not so much like Pentangle or something like that from back in the day.
I think a lot of people in the band do listen to Bert Jansch and Pentangle, yes. I mean, I don't think it has that jazzy thing that they have, but
right,
definitely an inspiration. Yeah,
right. Clientele are our guests, and Alistair, what's next?
We're going to play an old song called Reflections After Jane.
reflections after Jane, the clientele playing live for us today. How far back does that go?
I guess that goes back to when I was 22, so that's quite a long way. That's about 13 years old, that song. Wow.
Was that one of the original 7-inches?
Yeah, I think it was the very first one we did. It was the second, okay, sorry. Yeah, that's right, it was the second. We don't talk about the first one, do we?
Well, it's funny because I have a friend who I only discovered you a couple albums back, and I mentioned it, and he was all excited that I discovered you. But he said, "But you know, if you haven't heard the first 7 inches, you really don't get the clientele." You know, so do you have any kind of a vinyl fetish, or is that just how it happened to happen then?
Well, it's both, really. I think back then I didn't really like the idea of CDs. This is going back some way when the mastering jobs on CDs were pretty horrendous, you know. There was very little warmth or
shrill, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. They had no nice tape compression on them. So, yeah, we decided to go with vinyl because it just seemed like a pop art thing, these small things you can collect, and they're two songs, you know. You don't outstay your welcome with them.
Right.
So, yeah, that was, you know, that was the idea to begin with. And it was only when we got our first royalty check after releasing a CD that we realized, hang on a minute.
That's funny. When this album came out, you gave an interview where you posited that this might be the last clientele album. Do you regret having, because you probably have to talk about that a lot now.
Yeah, I totally regret it. I think it was just someone called me at the wrong time on a bad day. But I do think that, you know, like, it's the same way that we started out by releasing vinyl 7 inches. We always had an idea of how to present what we did. It wasn't just like mucking around, playing music in a dorm room or something. Mm. And I really feel there is a model for a band that you shouldn't outstay your welcome. You should leave a concise body of work and then do something else. And that, I think that's maybe a British way to look at pop music, whereas the American model seems to be more the Grateful Dead. You just keep going until you drop, you know. Mm. But I like the idea of mixing things up, and I do like the idea that we do have a mini album coming out later this year, so Bonfires on the Heath isn't the last clientele record. But we have to rethink and get our house in order, you know, for the future, and try something different, I think. It's a challenge, really.
Are you committed to keep doing music?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good. The only thing I can do, so. Yeah.
Well, good. The clientele are with us. I know. When is the mini album coming?
We're not sure of the release date yet, but it should be later in 2010.
It'll be this year. That's great. All right. We have time for one more. What would you like to finish up with?
We'd like to finish up with We Could Walk Together.
We could walk together in the jade and the coolness of the evening light. Watch the crowds serenely flow through carnivals, or shop windows where elm trees sigh. We'll be right back.
We Could Walk Together. That is another lovely performance from the Clientele. They are our guests today on this World Cafe Words and Music podcast from WXPN and NPR Music, which is produced here at WXPN in Philadelphia at xpn.org. There are many more World Cafe sessions and streaming audio at our website, and there is another podcast, our World Cafe Next podcast, you can get. That is all at worldcafe.npr.org. Thanks a lot for downloading us here at the World Cafe.